Blog Talk Radio.
923, I'll give you a corrected address, but you have a fire in a one story. Ordinary, looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125. Get your traffic control. Squad 5. Over to 273, 273.
Welcome to iWomen's Radio. The fire and emergency services through the involvement of success in women. Our show today was inspired by a recent trip, Our show today, iWomen in the Wild, was inspired by a recent trip our Eastern trustee, Allie Rothwack, and myself took last month to present at a Women's Prescribed Fire Training Exchange session, one of many conducted by the Fire Learning Network. I'm Megan Saylors, iWomen's Wildland Division trustee, and I'll be your host today. I'd like to take a moment and welcome our guests, Lena Quinn Davidson, director of the Northern California Prescribed Fire Council and a coordinator for the Fire Learning Network Training Exchange, or TREX, program. Monique Hines, firefighter EMT with the Lafayette Fire Department in Colorado and champion behind the idea of a women-specific TREX. And Why Women's own Eastern Division trustee, Allie Rothwack, author of Where Hope Lives and firefighter EMT with King of Prussia Volunteer Fire Company. Welcome. Are all three of you on with us today?
Yeah,
hey,
hi, Megan. It's
here.
This is Lena.
Welcome. Sorry about some of the technical difficulties we've experienced today. Thank you for all joining us during this holiday week. I'd like to start off the show with you, Allie. Could you start us off by providing your background in wildland fire and your first thoughts about being asked to visit WTREX?
Sure. So I've been a firefighter for 12 years in various areas around Pennsylvania. And I had some brief wildland experience in my first couple of years in the fire service because of a rural area that I grew up in. But I moved around a bunch and now live, you know, in a city. So my opportunities to do any wildland firefighting are really minimal. But it was always a facet of the fire service that I was really interested in and really excited to do any time that I could. So when we were on an iWomen board meeting phone call a few months ago, Megan talked about this, you know, WTREX that was happening, and I think I was texting her, emailing her before we got off the phone call because I was just so excited about learning more about it and seeing if I could be involved.
That's kind of how I felt as well, was really excited about getting to bring some of our other trustees in to the world of wildland because I felt it was something that was seemingly foreign to many of our trustees, and being able to share that experience was something I felt really excited about. For the rest of our audience, Lena, could you give us some background on the Fire Learning Network and what your involvement is with them?
Yeah, thanks, Megan. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly well.
Okay, great. Well, my name is Lena Quinn Davidson, and I actually work for University of California Cooperative Extension up in Northern California. But part of my job is working really closely with the folks with the Fire Learning Network, and working on these training exchanges that happen all over the country. And the Fire Learning Network is funded through a cooperative agreement between the Nature Conservancy, the Forest Service, and some of the Department of Interior agencies. And the real mission of the Fire Learning Network is to accelerate restoration of fire adapted landscapes, within the country, and to really help give people the tools and the skills and the networks of practitioners to kind of, advance project implementation of projects and adaptive management, and to really share lessons learned. So there's the Fire Learning Network is a network of practitioners that are all working on fire adaptation and fire resilient landscape. So the training exchange model has been a really key strategy for the Fire Learning Network and for a lot of its partners and, the agencies that the FLN works with. And so the training exchange model is kind of a really cutting-edge model for prescribed fire skill building and implementation. And it focuses on the training aspect and on getting treatments accomplished and also on outreach and kind of getting the word out not only about prescribed fire but about collaborative planning, working together, and that networks and sharing are really going to be a key component of accelerating restoration in these fire-adapted landscapes. So I don't know if that covers it, but...
No, that gives a pretty good basic background of the Fire Learning Network and the TREX programs. I wanted to jump over to Monique Hines. From my understanding, Mo, before you joined the Lafayette Fire Department, you worked in wildland fire. Could you tell us a little more about that and how maybe that experience led to you pursuing the development of a women's specific training program?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, can you hear me okay?
You are loud and clear.
Okay, wonderful. So I spent, before I joined Lafayette Fire Department, I spent six seasons doing wildland fire. Towards the end of my wildland era, I worked for the Nature Conservancy for their Southern Rockies Wildland Fire Module out of Loveland, Colorado. And during that time, it was spring of 2015, we were invited to participate in a TREX that was in North Carolina. And at that time, we went out to burn for 2 weeks with them. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of burning going on due to the weather. We were stuck in a fairly awful ice storm. However, it was a very unique trek. It had a unique experience in general for myself. Being a woman in fire, as we all know, you tend to be the only woman or one of few women on your department or your crew. And when I went to this trek, I recognized that there were multiple women at this event. There were probably around 45 participants, and about 15 of those were women. And for me, that was like, wow, there's a lot of women here. And it was an excellent experience to actually get to sit down and talk to a lot of them, listen to the challenges that they face in fire, listen to, the things that have worked for them, what they've had to learn, what they've had to overcome. I spent a lot of time with another woman, Nicole Simmons, who works for the Nature Conservancy out of Virginia, and her and I sat down and had some really deep conversations about the topics I just talked about. At night, we had these cabins we were staying in, and we'd hang out with the other women and have similar conversations. And throughout the trek, Nicole and I got to thinking more and more how interesting it would be if we actually had a trek that was specifically for women and provide all these women an opportunity that they don't normally get, which we were kind of getting at the North Carolina treks because it was quite a few women. But at that point, we really just wanted to see an opportunity where women could kind of shine within themselves. And so by creating a women's trek, we wanted to give women the opportunity to work on their operational skills and their leadership skills with other women supporting them and just allowing their confidence to really shine in that moment. So from there, Jeremy Bailey, who is the creator of TREX, happened to be at that TREX. We brought the idea to him. He really liked it, told us to run with it. He gave us Lania's contact, and Lania was the awesome person that decided to back the women's trucks and make it happen. Is there anything else you want me to add to that?
No, that's good. I kept myself on mute. Lania and Mo, as you guys developed the women's specific treks, did you guys come across any obstacles that you may not have experienced in developing the other treks sessions?
This is Lania. I don't think so. I mean, I think we had some interesting decision points along the way that we didn't come across, you know, that you don't often come across when you're planning a trek. For instance, you know, one of the things we talked about was whether or not to include men in the event. And I think that right off the bat, we all agreed that men were going to be a critical component of the W treks and that we were not going to be exclusive. And make it, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, why are you hosting a woman-only event? And we had to be very clear from the start that this was not just for women. This was a safe environment for everyone to participate and for everyone to learn and share, but that we really wanted to kind of tip the scales as far as having more women and having it be, you know, we kind of flipped things around. So we, in FIRE, it's about 90% men who make up the FIRE workforce. So for the W treks, we decided to switch that and have it be 90% women and 10% men. So I'd say that was one of the really unique things. And then from my perspective, one of the things that was really different from the other treks that I usually plan is just how big of a team we were able to build because of all the interest and excitement around this this W treks. We were able to build this cadre of amazing people who worked together to put it on. And it's not that other treks events don't have that and don't have really, you know, great leadership and strong teams, but I think the W treks in particular has a really awesome group of people who are working together to plan the events just because there's so much excitement around it. And so much passion. So those are kind of the two main differences from my perspective, and they're both really positive.
Megan, this is Mo. I would say, I mean, the challenge that we ran into, which was a good challenge, was just we hadn't done anything like this before to specifically make it about women. We didn't know what it was going to look like necessarily. We had ideas. We had brought in some specific speakers. But we organically let the event just kind of happen. We wanted to see how the women reacted with each other and helped each other out. And it actually worked out really well. Again, we came into it like not knowing at all what it was going to look like. But in the end, I think we got exactly what we wanted out of it. And that was for these women to come together, create a really strong network, a strong supportive group, as well as they were given an opportunity where they got to work with each other and learn from each other in ways that they don't necessarily get to learn in their crews. You know, I can say, for instance, sometimes there's things that I learn, for instance, running a chainsaw. It's one thing to learn that from a male coworker, but to see another woman running a chainsaw and showing me how she uses her body and her technique to do the job made a huge difference for me to build my confidence and be able to run a chainsaw. So I know that that was the same thing that was happening at these women's treks. For these women to see other women doing operational skills and being leaders really built the confidence of these women to move forward in their careers.
I like that idea of how you discussed it. It happens, or so you let it happen organically. What were some of the pleasant surprises that Mo or Lania that you guys experienced that you didn't necessarily expect to come out of having a women's specific training session?
Well, this is Mo. For our first W treks, which was in Northern California in 2016. You know, again, we were kind of focused on the operational skills, the leadership skills. But what we really saw were the women becoming friends very quickly and the door just opening for them to talk and to open up to each other and tell their stories of, you know, negative things that have happened to them in their career. And, you know, it was like all of a sudden they could just let it all out and talk about the issues they're running into and then find support from the other women, whether that's just a hug or advice, you know, whatever it looked like, but they got something out of it. There was just this ease and able to open up about any kind of, you know, problems that you're having in your career, your personal life. And I think that just built really strong friendships that I see continuing now. Even, you know, we have a couple of Facebook pages that are specifically for our groups, and you see the connections still happening. And so, you know, I don't think we necessarily predicted that these bonds would stay so strong, and that, you know, again, maybe in their crew they don't have all the support they need, but now they have the support they need by the individuals that they met at this event.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mo. It was, like Mo said, we have so much ongoing communication and contact between the WTREX participants, you know, who were together more than a year ago now for the first event. And just, you know, people have met up in Europe. People have burned together in other states. It's like, you know, from my perspective, working with the Fire Learning Network and really trying to build networks, we think a lot about network theory and how do you structure these relationships and how do you, you know, create that environment that allows people to support each other and to learn from each other and to continue those bonds. And I think the WTREX was this perfect example of a strong network that really came, you know, kind of rose organically out of that event. We weren't really expecting that, and it was really a neat thing to watch and to be part of.
Building on this concept of networking, Allie, coming in from a predominantly structure background and only participating for a few days, what was your take on that relationship building that you got to experience and witness?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that was so incredible. I think, like all women in the fire service, I have never really had the opportunity to work with other women firefighters. I certainly know plenty of them and get to see them at various, you know, events, but in terms of just working with them and being able to share experiences about the job, whether it's structure or wildland, you know, it's facets of the same love, of the same passion. And so just getting to, you know, walk into a room full of women and men who are just so passionate about this thing that is kind of unexpected from, you know, women. Just being able to share that was really, really incredible. And then to echo what has been said, just the friendships. I mean, it's been about a month since the WTREX, and I'm already, you know, I've kept in touch with a lot of the women that I met. So it was just an incredible experience for me to be able to just be working with so many women and watching them work and learning about, you know, the different things that they've learned on the job. It was awesome. I'll never forget it.
That's good to hear. Lainia and Mo, both of you kind of mentioned about how having this women-specific TREX was uncharted territory. What were some of the lessons you guys have learned in pioneering this new ground for training for prescribed fire that you'd like to share with some of our listeners?
Okay, well, this is Mo. Lessons learned. Well, we need more of this. The fact that, you know, what we've done with just the two WTREX that we've made happen over the last 2 years, we see so much benefit in it, and we hear so many great things from the participants. I mean, I can't tell you how many women have come to me and said, Mo, this has been life-changing for me, life-changing. And that just goes to show that this is working, because when they say life-changing, they mean positive. And I've had firefighters that at the beginning of the WTREC say, you know, I'm thinking about getting out of fire. And then by the end of the 2 weeks, they've changed their mind. So we're doing something right. And I think that we need to do more of it. We need to get more events like this going, because it's only going to build the confidence of women in fire more. So I would just say my biggest thing that I take away every year is that we need to do more of it.
Yeah, I mean, to speak to Mo's point about doing more, there's definitely a demand. We've, both years, you know, we accept applications to the training, but we can only admit about 25 or 30 participants. And so both years we've had to turn away, you know, more than 50 people who wanted to be involved, and we just didn't have room. So that's such a hard decision to go through all those applicants and, you know, kind of pick out our roster when we know that everyone would be great to have there, and we just can't accommodate everyone who wants to be, you know, be part of the training. So we definitely look forward to hosting more trainings like this and to continuing this, the WTREC program into the future, because we know there's a demand and there's passion for it, and it's, like Mo said, it's just providing such an unusual and amazing venue for women and men in fire to explore some of these topics and obviously to get the hands-on training as well.
And Megan, it doesn't matter if you're wildland fire, if you're structured fire. By doing more of this, any agency, any department that either sends people to participate or sponsors these events, they're really helping everybody out. They're helping themselves out. You know, we want to create a more diverse fire service. But to do that, I mean, we're all working on recruitment, but we also have to think about retention. And that's how are we going to invest in these women and keep them in the fire service? Because women do get driven out by multiple different reasons. And we need to figure out how we can retain these women, because our numbers are already low, and they're only going to stay low if people keep leaving. So I think the WTREC is a great model for showing how we can really invest in women and keep them around. The other lessons learned I would say that came about was, you know, again, we wanted to invite men, but we really didn't know what that would look like, you know, the first time it went around. But I can tell you both WTREC events, the male participants have left there feeling very similar to the women, in the sense that it was life-changing for them as well. They learned a lot about, you know, the issues women run into, the challenges. And in general, just working with that many women, I think they started to learn a little bit of our language, to learn a little bit of how we do things and have a better understanding of all that. So when they left the WTREC, they felt more inclined to want to have women on their crews or support the women on their crews. So again, lessons learned, we realized how, you know, not only is it super important that we have a mostly women's track, but how very important it is to invite the men to the WTREC, because it is a life learning lesson for them as well.
So we're hearing about how impactful such trainings can be, besides just the specifics of being able to work with other females in fire. What other benefits are there for the participants, and what does that look like for them? What are they taking home?
Well, the TREC model in general, this is not just specific to the WTREC, the TREC model in general is really about you know, providing diverse skills and experience to the participants and getting people working with folks from other agencies and organizations and other types of backgrounds. So really diversity is at the core of the model in general. And that's, you know, getting the hands-on prescribed fire experience is really a core piece of that, obviously, and something that isn't usually available to people, you know, to people who don't work for a federal fire management agency, for people who don't work in fire in general. We have a lot of participants who are academics or regulators who have never had the chance to even get out and you know, do any kind of live fire stuff. So that's a big piece of it, is people take home, you know, new skills and experience that are based directly on their hands-on training that we provide. But then we also have a bunch of other, you know, we try to build in a bunch of other types of skills. And this year was a good example. The WTREX, we were around Yosemite National Park, but it actually overlapped with the fires, the very tragic fires that were happening in Sonoma and Napa counties in California. And so it was a very difficult time to be doing a prescribed fire training when there's loss of life and loss of so many homes, you know, not very far away, really. And I think it was a great opportunity for us to demonstrate the diversity principle of TREX, which is that we, you know, instead, if we weren't able to burn, then we had five other workshops planned for that day that we could take advantage of the skills and experiences that our participants had. And so that piece of really, like, sharing skills, and we do some burning, but we also are able to draw on all the other resources that our team has and do a lot of neat stuff. And then also just having the diversity of participation. So we have people from tribes, people from federal agencies, state agencies, nonprofits, private landowners, and that's a real big piece of it too. People are going home saying, wow, I've never worked with such a diverse crew before, and I learned so many different things from so many different people that I would have never gotten just doing a training within my agency or within my organization.
That was one of the really big draws when I first heard about WTREX, coming from a federal wildland firefighter, was that idea of bringing not just these wildland firefighters, but that you guys were incorporating private landowners and other municipalities and other entities involved in wildland fire, because it tends to get isolated really quickly, that everybody has their own role, and not, you don't realize that if we work together, like, all those pieces fit and things work out and get done so much more effectively or easily.
And it
was pretty amazing for me to see that, and being able to, even for the short time being there, getting to interact with so many different entities was pretty amazing.
And that's really how, when we do the selection process and build out our roster for the training, we're really looking at that. We're trying to bring people from different types of backgrounds, different affiliations, and build a roster that's really diversified and both geographically and affiliation-wise. So this year we actually had people come from 20 different states, which I thought was just incredible. I mean, I think that's the most that we've ever had at any TREX event. And three different countries. We usually always have international participation, but that breadth of geography is really cool too, especially in the prescribed fire context, where you have people who have only burned in longleaf pine or people who have only burned in the oak woodlands of the Pacific Northwest, and they're able to see this entirely new fuel type, and they're out there with people they would have never had the opportunity to work with. It's really a neat part of the program.
Allie, coming from a structure perspective, do you see, like, this concept of a training exchange being able to transition over into a structure environment very well?
Absolutely. I think it's a really fairly easy model to replicate. And I think even, you know, in the month or so since the WTREX, you know, I'm a part of a lot of different organizations within the emergency services. And, you know, we've had some opportunities lately where we're either trying to grow an organization in a new way or go in a different direction. And, you know, we would get caught up in trying to maybe come up with some new ideas ourselves. And I would always say, well, why don't we talk to this agency, or why don't we contact this person who seems to be doing what we're trying to do and talk to them? So just that idea of going to other people who have maybe already figured out what we're trying to do, and just, like Lenya said, get that diversity of ideas. I think had that at the forefront of my mind more than I did before the WTREX, just to pull from other people's ideas.
Do you see any of that training exchanges already kind of happening and maybe a different venue within the structural world already that can be built upon?
I think there are some opportunities. You know, people tend to stay, you know, kind of to their township or their city or their county because maybe the rules are similar or the boundaries are similar, but I have seen recently maybe different townships training together or different even counties getting together to train, but it's always been on a pretty small scale. And so I think that there's definitely opportunities there to be built upon, because I think, like we saw in the WTREX, only good comes from getting all those people together. And like having people come from 20 different states, that's amazing. That is such a breadth of knowledge that we had out there in California. So it's definitely something that can be replicated into the structure world. And I think that model that we have that's been so successful with the TREXes is something that people can look to as something that has already worked to see how can we incorporate this into the structure world.
And Megan and Mo, can I add to that?
Absolutely.
So now that I work in the structure world, I did attend the Colorado Fire Women's Conference this year, which was held in Westminster, Colorado. It was very similar to a WTREX, but just in a shorter amount of time. So it was just a few days long. I want to say at that, I could be completely off on my numbers, but I want to say there was around 100 participants. And so it was women from structure fire departments from all over Colorado, though I know they did have out-of-state individuals. I became a pretty good friend with a woman from Indiana. So that few days was a lot of similar things, except for structure fire and not prescribed fire. They did, they had different speakers come in and do talks for us. There were different little smaller sections that you could break out to with different speakers that you could go to on one day, like classroom portion stuff. And then on the second day was hot classes, so hands-on training classes. But it was it was all women as far as, you know, when you were out doing hands-on training, it was all women participants. They did have some male instructors out there. But, again, it was, this event was pretty much all women. I would say the male participants that were there were actually chiefs or somewhere higher up in the ranks, and they were there to listen to more of the speakers that were there talking about cultural differences or cultural issues, such as Chief Donna Olson was there to close out for us. So it kind of felt like a WTREX in the sense that it was all women and we were doing, you know, operational stuff, leadership stuff, learning through speakers. But I didn't find it as intimate as a WTREX. And I think that's just because it was so short. Just being a couple days, you're staying at a hotel or you're going back to your department at night or home because it's close by. Where the WTREX, like you stayed at the host site, you camped. Doesn't get any more intimate than that. Everybody's hanging around at the same place. There's no TV. You know, there's not a lot of technological stuff going on. So people are kind of forced to talk and hang out. We had bonfires at night at the W Tracks, which, you know, made a great setting to hang out with folks, hear their stories or learn about them. So with the Colorado Fire Women's, again, super great event. I absolutely loved it. I learned a lot there. I met some really cool women, learned some new techniques, but I just didn't find it as intimate as the W Tracks because it, again, I think it was just a shorter event. And so it didn't give the opportunity to really build those relationships like the W Tracks does.
Yeah, Mo, I think that's a great point. And that's another kind of core feature of Treks events in general is, for one, that they're longer duration. You know, they're usually 12 to 14 days. And then also that we provide meals and have, you know, the shared meal times, which is really important. And then also that we all lodge together. And we have, every year we have participants in, you know, our different Treks events who say, hey, can I go home at night or can I get a hotel and you know, do my own thing when we're done with work at the end of the day? And we really discourage that because it's all part of that network building and community building is being together and, you know, really having that shared downtime. So thanks for bringing that up, Mo, because I think that is a really important part of the model and something that's contributed to the success of the W Treks, for sure.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I wanted to bring up that I caught earlier in some of your guys' responses was that there's this demand for wanting more gender-specific training. Do you see any particular advantages or disadvantages in creating that kind of focus and targeted audience for training?
Yeah, hey, this is Allie. I think that would be invaluable to not only the women who are already firefighters in the structure world, but for, you know, that whole concept of recruitment, you know, that quote of you can't be what you can't see, like how do we expect women to look at firefighting as a viable career option, or how do we expect girls to look up to, you know, this concept of firefighting as something that they might want to be when they grow up if there's nobody that looks like them already doing it? And, you know, I've helped out at a bunch of different girls' camps, girls' fire leadership camps that are around the country, and I think it's so incredibly important to, you know, for the different demonstrations like cutting a car apart or raising a ladder or advancing a hose line, you could find a guy from any fire company to come and demonstrate what that would look like for the girls, but to find women who can come and do that and show the girls that it is possible for our bodies to do these things, it is possible for our minds to be tough enough to do these things. I know it would have made a complete night and day difference for me at the start of my career if I would have had anyone to look up to who was like me doing the job. So I think it could be incredible, and I think it certainly shouldn't be necessarily exclusive like the W Treks, but like Lania said, just to flip that percentage and have more women than men, I think would be really incredible.
Yeah, and I think Allie brings up a great point about, you know, you can't be what you can't see, and I think one of the that's really one of the most awesome parts about W Treks is seeing, you know, seeing that leadership. I think one of the things I really reflect on working with the group that we do to plan the event and then seeing it in action is how great it is for those of us who are earlier in our careers and, you know, really kind of moving up to see some of the women that we work with. We have people like Kelly Martin, who's the chief of fire at Yosemite National Park, and Jean Pinchatoli, who's a retired Type 1 IC from the Forest Service. And they're some of our core leaders for the W Treks program, and they've committed long-term to working with us and to advancing this program and to have the opportunity to work with these women who are farther along in their careers and are amazing leaders, and to be able to kind of say, like, wow, I want to be like that, and I could be like that. And I have this strong connection with these mentors. So mentorship is a really key part, I think, of this training model and of being able to move forward and say, like, you know, now I have role models who are women and they're successful and they do things, you know, a little differently from each other, and they do things a little differently from men who are leaders in the same field. And so that's been really exciting. One of my favorite parts, I think, is being able to work with those folks who are so far along and have so much wisdom to share.
Yeah, I think, you know, one, Kelly and Jean have been fantastic. I mean, to have two women in such high positions, and you can ask them anything from a basic Firefighter 2 question to the hardest question you could think of, and those women are very talented, very smart, and have been doing this for so long that they're going to have a great answer for you. So they really just kind of cover it all for us, and they pretty much can mentor anybody at that event. And if you were to approach them, they would jump right on it. And then, you know, just in general, like, again, going back to why this is positive, why people should be doing this, it really shows that we care and support women in the fire service, and we want to keep them, we want to invest in them. You know, we're giving them a supportive network, and that is huge. You know, again, if you've got women that are saying they want to leave the fire service, they don't feel supported, I think we have better chance with them if we can support them. So,
yeah. I think that's a really good point, Mo, about providing support for a particular group of individuals who feel underrepresented in their fields. But with that always comes the question, and I've personally experienced this quite a bit in championing more focus on women-specific issues, is whenever you bring up something that is gender-specific or targeted towards women, there's always that audience in the background who's bringing up, like, well, isn't that reverse discrimination? Or, you know, what about, you know, us over here? How do you guys answer those kind of questions when you start talking about a women's treks opportunity? And how do you deal with maybe those naysayers for your program?
Well, I could tell you what I tell them, but I don't think it's appropriate for the, the podcast.
I'm pretty sure we all have those words in our head.
Yeah. So I have a specific word I tell them. And to be honest, I had those doubts myself in the beginning, like when all of this started coming up in North Carolina, and I was talking to a bunch of folks, and I was like, what about the naysayers? And one particular person gave me that specific word I should use and reminded me that if they're against what we're trying to do, then they're probably the reason we're doing it. So that's pretty much what's stuck in my mind, is we're going to have those naysayers. They're the reason we're putting on a W-Trex, and so we're going to put the W-Trex on because we need to, because we have folks out there that aren't supportive, that don't understand the difficulties we run into, that don't understand that we need a support network to become stronger and become better firefighters, because, hey, we're all on the same team, right? We're a familyhood. If you want us to be really strong and get out there and do our jobs and, you know, kick ass at it, then support us. Because we want to do it. We have the passion. Don't be naysayers. Get out there, support us. Again, like we encourage male participants. We encourage all men to come out, have our back, and get down and dirty with us and show us, you know, that we're going to show them that we can do this, and that we are definitely strong enough, and we're going to do whatever it takes to do it. So, again, I just go back to, if they're naysayers, then they're probably the reason we're doing the W-Trex.
Yeah, and I think we always go back to reminding folks that this is not an exclusive event, and that we are purposely including and engaging men in the event, and supporting men, too. I mean, we have the men who attend these trainings are not immune from some of the same issues. I mean, if you're a man in fire who's a little more effeminate or maybe not as big and strong. Or, I mean, I think a lot of we've discovered through these events that a lot of the men are dealing with some of the same pressures and same issues, and it's a great forum for them to kind of explore that too and to feel supported and to feel supported in helping the women that they work with and help, you know, kind of and having their back. So I always go back to that too and just make sure people understand that this is not a woman-only event. It's not focused only on women, but it's really about creating a diverse and supportive workforce and fire.
Yeah,
we all
benefit from. Langley does a really great job explaining that.
It brings up another good perspective. You guys do have male participants in your women-specific training, and what is some of the feedback that you've gotten from those male participants?
Well, we had a participant last year who actually then came back this year, and he's a hotshot out of Utah. And for him, it was just I think he described the whole experience as kind of mind-blowing. Like, he just had no idea about even just the language that he and his crew use. And this is a really sweet man, and he was just like, God, I had no idea that I say things that are offensive, and now I can be more reflective and kind of watch what I say. You know, just even the most basic things like that, I think, are huge wins. So he was a great example and someone who's going to be such a strong advocate for women in fire and such a strong partner moving forward, and hopefully someone who will be involved in WTREX more in the future. So that's kind of one example that sticks out for me, is just the language piece and just the kind of really basic level stuff that's like, wow, not everyone's thinking about this, you know?
Yeah, I recall having a conversation with one of our male participants who, you know, he's a captain on an engine, and not that he was against hiring women for his engine, but I think he might have been a little nervous about, you know, how that looks, and I can't really explain exactly what maybe his issues were with it, but by the end of the WTREX, he was sold. He realized how important it was to have women as a part of his crew, to have that diversity, to see that they do bring different perspectives to the table, that they do bring different strengths. And now, you know, after a 2-week event, he recognized that and was so supportive of women and was so excited to get home. And, you know, when looking through applications, feeling more confident about hiring women on his crew.
Yeah. Yeah, we also, you know, there's the outreach component of the TREX too, and I think that this part is really important for the WTREX. Last year, we were out on a burn, and we had a crew from CAL FIRE, you know, California's kind of state fire department. They were out there with an engine just supporting the event and kind of checking it out. And one of the young men who was just on that crew, they weren't part of the event, but, you know, they were there just for the day. He leaned to me and said, are there a lot of women out here? Is this a coincidence? and it was such a cool opportunity to talk with him. And he, you know, he's probably a 25-year-old guy early in fire who was just mind blown to see 40 women conducting a prescribed burn with only a few men. And, you know, the women are, the burn boss is a woman, and the people running the engines are women, and that whole CAL FIRE crew was just kind of amazed to see that. And so that outreach component of, like, yeah, women can do this work, we can do it, and we, you know, we have everything it takes, that's a really cool piece of it in the communities where we're doing the projects. I think it's a great demonstration.
As we come up to the end of our radio hour, I'd like to open it up. We might have some other iWomen trustees on the line with us, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to ask any questions that they may have regarding the Fire Learning Network, the Trex experience or anything about what they've heard on the program so far today. Okay. With that, I guess none of them have any questions. As a last round robin, I'd like to open the floor to our three guests and provide with our listeners one last tidbit about their experience or what they've gotten out of the WTREX, and leave us with some closing thoughts. Allie.
Oh, hi. I think the coolest thing that has stuck with me so far, you know, as I'm still processing the event, but I was just so surprised with how just the stamina and endurance that these wildland firefighters have. You know, in the structure world, you have an incident that might last 5 minutes, it might last an hour. If it's a really bad day, it might last a couple of hours, but you're going home at the end of that day and you're kind of hitting the reset button and starting over. But with wildland, you know, for me, I kept like having to wrap my head around it, like, oh, you go back and do this again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you go back until the fire's out or you get put, you know, you get placed someplace else. So just the stamina, physical and mental endurance that these women and men have, I think really, really will stick with me. And I think that endurance that they have is unmatched in the fire service because, you know, you guys are, you're sleeping out on the job. You're staying at that incident until it's over. And I think that's something just really, really admirable about the profession.
How about Mo? Any closing words?
First off, thank you so much for having us on your podcast. It's fantastic to actually get Women's Trex out there even more than it already is. And getting to share, you know, I know a lot of structure women listen to this podcast. It's really awesome to be able to share that because now that I do work in the structure realm, you know, coming from wildland, I absolutely enjoy all the women I work with from both realms, and to get to share this with more structure folks is awesome. I really look forward to working more with women in structure fire and participating more in events such as Colorado Fire Women's Conference, hopefully, you know, helping host some of these things someday, helping out wherever I can, and just getting more women involved and supporting them and investing in their career. So I'm looking forward to more of this popping up in the structure side of things. And I also recommend that even if you are, you know, strictly a structure firefighter, the Women's Trex is totally open to anybody to come out as long as you've got your S-130-190. So don't be afraid, you know, if you've never done wildland, that's fine, but come join us at Women's Trex. I think you'd really enjoy it, get a great experience, and make some really cool friends.
And Lania, any closing thoughts?
Sure, yeah. Well, thanks, like Mo said, thanks, Megan, for having us on. I think this has been really great, and helping just discuss these issues and spread the word about these types of opportunities is really important. I guess I'll just say that, you know, we do plan to continue having the WTREX at least annually, probably into the future, and maybe more as we, you know, develop the program more and build more partnerships. So like Mo said, I really encourage people to consider it, even, you know, if you're in structure, if you're not even in fire, but it's something you're really interested in. We do provide S-130-190 to folks who don't have it, so we can get you up to speed on all the prereqs before the training even starts. These trainings are really, they're open. The Trex, you know, Trexes in general are open to anyone who's got interest in building prescribed fire skills and learning more about fire and prescribed fire. So really, I encourage you to look into it and to contact us if you're interested in getting on the mailing list. And just for more information about treks in general, I think there are two kind of primary ways that you can find out more. One is we have a Facebook page that's for treks all over the country, all over the world. We actually have some people right now who are on a treks in Portugal. So if you want to follow what's going on with different treks and learn more and be able to ask questions, you can use that page. So it's the Treks Prescribed Fire Training Exchange Facebook page. So if you just search for that, that'll really keep you up to speed on what's going on with treks all over the place. And then also, if you just Google Prescribed Fire Training Exchange and treks, you'll see there's a website on Conservation Gateway, which is the Nature Conservancy's kind of web portal, and that has upcoming treks events and another good way to just kind of stay posted on what opportunities there are. Because there are treks events happening all over the place all the time, and a really great opportunity to get hands-on training. And then, Megan, I don't know if you'll post our contact information somewhere, but I do have kind of a master mailing list for the WTreks. So anyone who's specifically interested in that event could email me, and I put them on the mailing list.
Absolutely. We'll post both a link to your Facebook page and the conservationgateway.org for more information about the Fire Learning Network and the TREKS program with the recording of this radio show on iWomen's Facebook page.
Wonderful.
And as we end the show, I'd like to take a moment to thank the Fire Engineering Talk Radio for providing iWomen with this opportunity to share some different issues for women in the fire and emergency services. I'd like to also thank Western Division Trustee Lisa Baker for handling all the technical aspects of our radio hour, and our guests Lania, Mo, and Allie for giving us their time during this Thanksgiving holiday. I'd also like to thank all our members who continue to inspire us to constantly advocate for positive changes in the culture of fire and emergency services. I'd like to leave our listeners with one last thought from this year's WTreks participant, Lacey England, who helped put on this year's session.
We don't get very often, and it's extremely impactful for everybody here. Women, learning from women in the fire world is an opportunity we don't get very often, and it's extremely impactful for everybody here.
So thanks, everybody, for taking the time and listening to the iWomen Radio Hour on Fire Engineering Talk Radio. Stay safe and stay strong. See you next time.